Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Alongside Matt Trenton, I am John Coffey. We had a few weeks off due to the Christmas holiday, and we're back for another semester of shows here on KXCV KRNW. Along with Matt, again, I'm John Coffey, helping out Ryan Elliott and Jenny James, helping behind the scenes here. So, again, we got a good show lined up tonight. We'll be talking tennis, we'll be talking baseball and track and field. The baseball teams are on the, or rather, the basketball teams are on the road. They're out in Kearney, Nebraska, getting ready for a doubleheader tomorrow, as they will face Nebraska Kearney, a big matchup there. But Matt Trenton, good to be back here at Carson's for another series of shows coming up.
Yeah, it was a great first semester going through. We see a lot of spring or fall sports come out, play really well. Football team make another run into the playoffs, and a lot of success there. Volleyball team also a good year, too. So a lot of fun to see that now diving in, and you kind of get to creeping up on the toward the end of this this basketball season. Obviously, the men's team is playing phenomenally once again, and a chance to make a run through the region tournament. Hopefully, see them back here in Maryville once again, and the women's basketball team, too. Trying to find a way to string together some wins here late in the season and find a way to make a postseason push. So a lot of excitement coming up there, as well as the rest of our spring sports. We see indoor track and field also already off and running. A few players already, some NCAA provisional marks picked up there. We have baseball getting going in about 2.5 weeks. Tennis right around the corner as well. So exciting time here for Bearcat Sports.
And we talked about Bearcat basketball on the men's side. The Bearcat men's basketball team rebounded well after that loss to Missouri Southern. Some big wins since that point, including this past weekend. Wins over Southwest Baptist on Saturday, and then Monday afternoon, rare Monday afternoon games with Martin Luther King Day. And, of course, those games were scheduled for last Thursday, but inclement weather postponed those. But good crowd on hand, and Northwest with on the men's side, a big victory over Central Missouri.
Yeah, and really a great top-to-bottom week. You start with that Saturday game where you only give up 46 points to Southwest Baptist, and really kind of a signature Ben McCollum game to where they're hitting shots, but they're playing such good defense there, too. Then you turn around, and anytime you see Central Missouri, it is such a fight whenever you go against the Mules, and a great rivalry there. So to come out, grind out a win, get that 70-61 victory, and give the sweep of UCM. You know, we've seen them twice already this year. Those are their only two MIAA losses so far this season coming to the Bearcats. So those are some big wins, not only in conference play. I think whenever you look at the region as a whole, those are some big W's. So hopefully the Bearcats can keep this rolling and keep it going against a UNK team that, you know, by record they look like they're down, but they still have some players, including the MIAA's leading scorer at this point in the season. So they won't be an easy team to go against.
Hey, you've got the two leading scorers in the conference going at each other on Saturday, with Pitts right behind Blake Glassman there in the totals there.
Yeah, and you look at what Justin Pitts has done. Not only this season, averaging 22 points and about 6 assists per ball game, but also throughout his career, the only player in Northwest Missouri State history with more than 1,000 points and 500 assists in his career. So he's been phenomenal throughout. So it's always a fun matchup to see some of the bigger boys in the conference go at it. And Justin Pitts, despite being one of the smaller guys in the conference, puts up some pretty big numbers.
That he does. And on the women's side, I think Northwest showing improvements, just not getting W's.
Man, they came awful close there, didn't they? Southwest Baptist down just, lost by just 5 in that one after leading throughout. Then you see Central Missouri, a top 15 team in the nation, come into Bearcat Arena and really had to work hard. A 16-point win in the end for Central Missouri, but that was just a 6-point game heading into the fourth quarter. So the Bearcats were right there. Just got to find a way to close some of those games out. You're seeing some players turn the corner. Jalen Haggard really not hitting that freshman slump here in the second half, playing really well, and hoping to see Tanya Meyer continue to step up there as that senior leader. So Bearcats have some chance to get some big wins and definitely still in postseason contention, but it has to start happening pretty quick.
Again, we've got a good show on hand for tonight. We'll be talking tennis with the head coach of the tennis team, Mark Rosewell, a couple players off of his squad, and Tess Lovig and Yusuf Sharif, and head baseball coach Darren Lewis with us, with Joseph Hippus, and track and field. We'll be talking with Scott Lorick as well as Jordan Hammond and Audrey Wishman off of his squad. So that's all coming up. Reminder that support for the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the student body. Screen printing and embroidery located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Student Body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square, open for lunch and dinner, and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. When we come back, we'll talk baseball as we'll be joined by the head coach of the Bearcat baseball team, Darren Lowe. That's coming up right after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. With online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device, the right bank is right at your fingertips. More at nvb.com or at any of the 8 locations.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Oak Point in Maryville. Their memory care program offers residents emotional and social support, art, music, pet therapies, and more. More at 660-562-2799 or at oakpointmaryville.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers pre-owned late-model autos and will also purchase vehicles from individuals. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Audiovisual, providing customers with sales, design, service, and installation of surveillance and security systems for homes and business, as well as paging and public address systems. More information is available at 660-853-2319.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from Shelter Agents Brad Ford of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mount City.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Hey, welcome into the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show from Carson Sports Grill, downtown Maryville. Matt Tritton now talking Northwest Missouri State Baseball with head coach Darren Lowe, as well as senior right-hand pitcher Joseph Hitfist. Guys, appreciate you coming in, joining the show. And hard to believe, even though, man, it was, 20 below wind chill yesterday, and today pretty cold, a little bit better, but baseball's right around the corner, about 18 days away, I think. Can you believe that?
Yeah, it almost feels like baseball season today. It warmed up nice in the afternoon, and, you know, it seems like every time we talk, every year, this time, we're coming off of that cold spell, but our season's right around the corner with 2.5 weeks left to go, and you know, we do what we can. We're in the gym and we're in the basement over in Lampkin, and hopefully get some warm weather here, be able to get outside on the football turf and get some ground balls and some fly balls and be as prepared as we possibly can for our opening day on February 4th.
Joseph, when you going through practice right now and getting some workouts in it and trying to get yourself game ready, tell me what it's like going from being in that basement, working all off season long, to that first game where you guys are going to step out there in Arkansas and actually get to stretch out and play a ball game. The difference there, the jump in mentality from being inside to being back out.
Sure. I mean, when we first get outside, it's always a blast. I mean, we're always really excited to get out in the field and finally play in some warm weather and actually get on the field. But, you know, I don't mind the winter, and I know a lot of our guys feel the same way, just because I think that that's the time where guys really separate themselves. I think that our team has really gotten to the point where we take advantage of the winter months, even though we don't really have a ton of resources to get outside and the weather to do so. But we're always really excited to get outside when we can.
Well, Northwest Missouri State baseball coming off a good season, finished 7th in the final regular season standings, 32-20 overall, 19-16 in MIAA play, and really made a charge there in that MIAA tournament. Missouri Western beat you by one run. You come out and get a win, then it takes 10 innings to finally knock you out. You make a push there. There's that potential. What's it like coming in with the expectations this year of, all right, let's take that next step forward?
Yeah, I think, you know, looking back at last year's season, I think we did turn the corner a little bit, and the expectation and the focus and, you know, just the goals of the program, and it all goes to the guys. They've kind of set those sights for themselves and for our program and kind of gotten us there. And, you know, Western kind of had our number in the conference tournament. You know, I thought we were better than the year before. So, you know, coming into this year, I think, you know, going to the conference tournament, getting a win there, playing tight ball games, we were just a couple votes out of a serious regional contention as well last year. So, you know, that's this league is tough. You got to strap it on every day, but I think our guys are ready for that. I think we have a core group and the entire team as well, that we do have high expectations and we do have high goals and want to take the next step this year, especially when we have, you know, 15 seniors on the roster. They've been through everything, you know, the last 4 or 5 years, and obviously they want to go out and kind of put their stamp on the program as well. So I think it's a great group we have that we'll take into the spring season, and then we just have to, get down and play ball and put some wins under our belts.
Hey, Joseph, for you, what's the message as a senior leader of the pitching staff of, hey, we're 12 games over 500 last year, a good season, but we won't have a great season. What's that message this year?
Absolutely. I think for us, the main thing is just that this is now the expectation, that this is a place where we can win and the program can win. And I think, like Coach said, we got a lot of guys who've experienced both the highs and the lows of the program over the last couple of years. I know when we came in, you know, we only won 20 games my freshman year, and getting to last year and getting to the tournament and really feeling like we could have made a push if we hadn't played the one team that felt like had our number. We've gotten to the point where this is now the program expectation. We're excited to go down south and compete with some of the best teams in the country.
Tell me about that pitching staff that you get to headline this for this team this year. Last year, Anthony Canapiel, MIAA Pitcher of the Year, a great arm out there. Nico Pablo also came out to a great senior season. How do you carry that torch and keep it going? You put up good numbers last year, but now time to build off that.
Oh, there's definitely a lot of momentum, I think, team-wise and pitching staff-wise. I think last year we made a lot of strides as far as learning to really compete with what we had and just guys going out and doing their best every day to have their best stuff and compete. And, you know, I think we got to the point where last year's team did a lot of good things, and I think we're prepared to even take that further step forward and, you know, really help our team make an even further push.
Coach, kind of the same thing of filling that gap of, a conference pitcher of the year candidate. It's pretty tough to fill that hole, but how do you do it this season?
Yeah, I think you take a look at those two guys we lost, three guys really, and, you know, Austin Battaglia had a great year in the bullpen for us as well. And, with Anthony and Nico, they were huge pieces for us. But you're right, we have to take the next step. These guys got to step up, and be that number one, number two. Got to develop a closer. You know, we feel like we have some great pieces, not just the starting pitching, but also in the bullpen and on the back end of games. So, you know, I think all the pieces are there. It's just, going out and kind of, I don't know if you can match what an Anthony Canapiel can do or a Nico Pablo can do, but go out and be your own guy, but kind of carry the team on your shoulders a little bit. And I guess that's the mental side of being a number one pitcher or, you know, being a starting pitcher in the MIAA. It's, you can't have days with bad stuff, and you can't have off days. So, and these guys do a tremendous job of preparing themselves. It started way back, you know, really all fall, but when you take a look at our season, we come back January 8th, and we have about 3.5 weeks to prepare pitchers' arms before opening day. You know, these guys did a great job of preparing themselves even before Christmas, when we can't have any contact with them. These guys are already jump-starting their throwing programs and getting into the shape that they need to be going into opening day. So, you know, I feel like this pitching staff, it's going to be a couple different faces, but I think our expectation for them is still high. We intend to go out and lead the league in ERA again this year, as we did last year. So that's our goal, and, you know, we kind of figured out how to do it last year, and now these guys are going to carry it on this year and also pass it on to the young guys that might be getting some innings as well.
Now, you talk about developing the back end of that bullpen, a closer, a setup man. Philosophically, at the Division II level, college baseball as a whole, is it similar to what we see being pushed in Major League Baseball over and over of power arm, power arm, power arm? Or do you see a few guys that are maybe more finesse pitchers that can step in there and deliver those innings?
You know, I think it's just a mix. We'd love to have all power arms and everybody throwing 95, but, it just doesn't happen that way. You really just got to piece together that pitching staff, and, both of our top end guys, both Joseph and Brad, are, you know, they're going to throw upper 80s, touch low 90s, and be power arms. Maybe our two other starters are going to be a little bit more breaking ball, change up guys, locate the fastball a little bit. I think we got some guys that can throw the baseball pretty hard in the middle, but we also have, you know, some other pieces. You know, just we got some sidearm guys. Jacob Wagner is coming back from last year, and he's kind of our shutdown inning kind of guy right in the middle of the game. We have Quentin Van Akron, who got quality innings for us last year as a true freshman, but he's a, you know, a mid, low to mid-80s lefty with a great changeup. So, you know, you got to kind of piece that together. We have some lefties, we got some righties. They're not all going to look alike, which we like. You know, we like to have a little bit different arm slot and a little different delivery, because then when we bring that new guy in, it is a different look. So, you know, changing velocities, changing pitches, changing, you know, righty from lefty, I think we have those pieces. And now we just got to get them in the game at the right times, you know, and, you know, bringing in the next guy that can handle the situation. I think that's where we will really look to figure those kinds of things out, especially in our first six games down south.
Talking Northwest Missouri State baseball on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show from Carson Sports Grill this evening. Joseph, take me back, Fairfield, Iowa, playing ball at Fairfield High School. Did you kind of get a bit of a big game pitching mentality back then? I know the team's, what, first quarterfinal appearance in 35 years. You step up and throw 8 scoreless innings, a get-a-no decision, but really steps up big there. Is that something you developed there, and it carries over at the college level?
Sure. I think for me it was important. Really, it's kind of eerie sometimes when I look back at high school compared to college. I think came into a team where I had to do a lot early as a freshman, stepped into my role, and kind of the same way here, that I don't really think I was fully prepared as a freshman, but I think Coach really trusted me and trusted some of the young guys on that team, and I think you're seeing the fruits of that now, that we had some guys take their lumps early in our college career and now really have a chance to step up and be leaders this year. But yeah, I think that just anything that's happened over the course of my career has really led to me to, you know, this point, and I feel really excited to be able to step up and lead a team of guys that I really enjoy playing baseball with, and I'm just excited for one last year with those guys.
Coming down from Fairfield, what made Northwest the right choice for you?
So, I mean, my recruiting process was a little difficult. I was more one of those fringe Division I, Division II junior college guys trying to find the right fit. And my roommate here, Jay Herdlicka, probably going to be our starting catcher, DH, this year, was already committed. And
always good to have that relationship
exactly.
With him, too.
Yeah, talked me into coming down to visit and got in touch with Coach Lowe and you know, came to campus and fell in love with it. Came here on orientation this summer, knew this was the right place, and just really did fall in love with the school and, you know, my teammates and everything. It made it a perfect fit. The town's similar size to what I grew up in. Get a little bit more stuff here with the college here, but for the most part, I'm just thrilled with my college decision for sure.
And Northwest opening up the season on February 3rd at Arkansas Fort Smith. 3 games there. Total of a 9-game road trip. 6 in Arkansas, 3 in Oklahoma. Then the home opening series coming up against Emporia State, February 23rd through the 25th. And Coach Lowe, when you start out February 3rd and move forward, what comes quicker? The pitchers kind of getting back into that groove, or some of your bats swinging a little better?
Well, I think historically the hitters have always been a little bit behind the pitchers, you know, just that timing factor and you know, seeing the baseball out of the hand a little bit. We try to, you know, simulate as much as we can down in the basement of Lampkin, and we've been doing that probably more this year than we have in the past. So, you know, hopefully they even out. Hopefully we're ready to go out and throw strikes. You know, I think that's the biggest goal for pitching staff, is throwing quality pitches, throwing a lot of strikes, keeping us in ball games. And, you know, I think we have, you talk about our senior leadership on the mound. We also have senior leadership, a lot of juniors and seniors in that offensive lineup too. So I think those guys will be ready to hit. You know, I think we got some great hitters in that lineup. I think top to bottom our lineup will be stronger probably than it ever has been here, stronger and deeper with some depth, some guys coming off the bench as well. So, you know, I think you go out and you want to play clean baseball, good defense, get good pitching, scratch out some runs, and just, you know, barrel up a lot of balls and have quality at bats. I think those are the things, you know, We're not going down to hope to win or do anything. Our goals right now is go down and win game one. You know, you talk about the nine-game road trip. We're going to play some good competition down there. Arkansas Fort Smith played in a regional last year. You know, the Lyon College, the midweek game is going to be a solid opponent for us. Wachita Baptist and Henderson took us 16 innings to beat them last year. So then the following weekend, Cameron has two all-region players on their squad. So, you know, it's not like we're going down you know, playing little leaguers. They're going to be some tough games, and that's the way we want it. We want to go down and challenge ourselves and face teams like we'll face in the MIAA and kind of see where we're at and see what we need to work on, you know, what our strengths, what our weaknesses are, and, you know, we just hope we can go down there and get the results what we expect out of this lineup.
With some of these pitchers back and a deep lineup, deep bench like you talked about, you probably sleep a little bit easier at night right now, don't you?
Well, a little bit. I don't know if I sleep a lot easier, but things run a lot smoother. You know, when you have that that group of guys that know how we've been practicing and knowing that, you know, we're have to be flexible. You know, and next year we talk all the time about having our new indoor facility, and that's going to be awesome for us. But, you know, right now we're, you know, everybody's trying to find that space to work out, especially when it's 5 below outside. You know, we were in the gym last night with tennis, and tennis was on the ends, and baseball was on the court, and we didn't hit anybody. That was good. So those are kind of things that we've been doing that for years now. But it's easier with those older group of guys of knowing what to expect when, you know, you show up at Lampkin at 6:30 and volleyball's on the court. And it's just got to be flexible and kind of overcome those things. The pitchers I can text out, hey, I need you at, you know, 7:40 today for drills, and they go get themselves prepared. They find a place to play catch, and then they show up at the time that we need them. So just all those things have gone a lot smoother. It is definitely more comforting knowing the quality of that senior class as well as the juniors underneath them, and probably the more important thing for me is I know these guys are you know, teaching the younger guys the way it is, the way it has to be, and kind of passing down those expectations for those younger guys for future years. So that's probably the you know, the benefit that I see more so what these guys do as leaders.
Well, guys, we're looking forward to February 3rd, specifically that home opener on the 23rd here in Maryville, and hoping for some warm weather for you there as well. Guys, we appreciate your time.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you very much.
As Darren Lowe and Joseph Hitfuss with the Northwest Missouri State baseball teams opening up the season on February 3rd at Arkansas Fort Smith for a 3-game set there. We'll take a quick break. When we come back on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, we will be talking Northwest Missouri State tennis. John Coffey, that's coming up right here on KXCV KRNW.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Heinlein Home Furnishings at 1411 South Main in Maryville. Heinlein provides furniture and flooring for every room in the house, as well as mattresses. More information is available at heinleinhomefurnishings.com. Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating more than 50 years in business, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. More at 660-582-3104.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at youngerauction.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Maryville Glass and Lock. Greg Fisher and his team offer installation and service of overhead doors from Rainer and LiftMaster operators. More at 660-582-3131, in-store at 5th and Buchanan, or at MarylandGlassAndLock.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
And welcome back to the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Time to talk tennis with head coach of the Bearcat men's tennis team, Mark Rosewell. Mark, you're looking a little better than when I saw you about a month ago this time down in Kansas City.
Yeah, I'd say much better, John, and thank you for coming down to see me. Like a lot of people in Maryville and Northwest alums, I got numerous cards, emails, texts, visits like yourself, and certainly I want to thank everybody out there. I surely appreciate it. I'm a very lucky person. And I appreciate it.
And if people are listening and don't know exactly what we're talking about, they had a little bit of a heart procedure down North Kansas City Hospital mid-December there.
Yeah, I had a heart valve put in. It was open heart surgery, but the cardiologist, I had an appointment today, and they got me fixed up pretty well. I had a couple other problems. I had some kidney stones and stuff, but the heart is fine.
Hey, you look good and great. I really no wet rest for the wicked here. You come out of that, and it's time to get your team ready to go for the spring season.
Yeah, we started practicing this week and workouts and so forth. And, of course, like Coach Lowe was saying, we're indoors and kind of splitting time in there and doing the best we can with track and basketball and baseball and such. But glad to start.
And that's something that you guys have done for years and years, so you kind of got it down to a fine art. Coach Lowe was talking about that as well, but that's one thing it seems like this coaching staff and all the sports at Northwest really understand the situation and work around just the limited time you have at Lampkin.
You better believe it, John. We have to get along. I mean, there's just no way around it, and we've got a really wonderful staff, and everybody, it's give and take and mostly give, and we all appreciate that, and we get our work done.
And the nice thing about it, this will be the last year that you have to do this at such tight quarters with that big facility coming up just to the west of the football facility. Got that new indoor Hughes indoor field house, and that's going to be really nice for all the sports.
Yeah, can't wait, John. And I'll tell you, one thing that we're really excited about with, you know, the courts to practice on in there, but, you know, we've never had a locker room before. This is going to be the first time ever, you know, our locker room was carrying around our bags with our clothes in it and stuff. So that's going to be really help with recruiting and things like that, and just kind of give us a little bit more identity and make things a little bit nicer. But, you know, things are getting better at Northwest and athletics and everything, and we got good leadership and all that, and we're going in the right direction.
We talked in the fall about part of this that you've already seen as far as improvements go, the two new outdoor courts to go along with the other four that were down at the Gruby Center, and we'll talk a little bit more about that too as we'll get ready for the spring season. But the indoor facility just has to mean a lot from the standpoint you get some courts in there as well, and an opportunity to at this time of year really get that team ready to go.
Yeah, it's really going to help everybody. And, you know, in the weather we have here in Northwest Missouri, you have to play indoors. And, you know, whether that's going down to St. Joe, which it costs us a ton of money, or going up to Red Oak, you know, we usually save that for the matches. But practice, you know, and Lampkin, is at least it's a place to play. There's some schools that don't have that. But if you don't practice, you're not going to be ready for your first matches. And you're probably going to get beat if you're not getting that practice in. So it's worked well for us.
And one thing I don't think a lot of people realize when you have to practice indoor at Lampkin is just that surface, which is more of a track type of surface that goes around the outside of the basketball floor, is it's just so much different when you get off of that surface. And even on the other indoor surfaces, that all of a sudden you're going in a match and playing a completely different surface, and it takes the team a little bit of time to adjust to that.
It really does, and sometimes we'll have to go in the day before and practice on the surface if we're going to play indoor or something like that. But it makes all the difference. And the lighting, too. You know, the lighting is going to be so much better in this new indoor facility, where it's just kind of plain dark on the ends down there. Now, it's not on the basketball court, but on the ends, it's a little dark. You know, it's hard to see sometimes.
You got to chase the balls a lot further, too.
Ain't that the truth?
And again, the two new outdoor courts there, the Gruby courts, Those were completed late summer, early fall, and you've had a chance with the team to get out on those and practice some in the fall, and that's going to be nice to have those all together for your spring season where you have the matches get started there.
It sure is, John, because there's such a big difference between 4 and 6 when you've got two teams, and 6 is just a lot better working number as far as playing matches. You can put all 6 doubles, both genders, out there right away and then go from there. And, you know, it's groovy. The way it's set up there is, you know, we've got the football field and the rec center and Horseman, and it blocks all the wind, so it's really perfect for tennis. You know, a lot of times in the spring, now it's okay in the fall, but the high rises, nobody wants to go try to play there because you usually got a big wind going and so forth. So this is going to be so much better.
Yeah, it's probably going to be about as nice as anywhere in the conference, I would imagine.
I tell you what, you know, and we've got some plans for to do some other things that we're working on right now to kind of spruce it up a little bit and to make it a facility, not just tennis courts, but a facility. So that we're excited about that.
Let's just talk about your teams that you've got coming back this year. You've had a chance to watch them a little bit in the fall, the players that you brought in there. Now they're back with the practices to get rolling for the spring season, and just talk about the outlook of both of these teams.
Well, actually, on the both of the teams, John, we've got just a ton of new faces. I think we've got 3 women back from last year's team. On the men, I don't know, 3 or 4, but a lot of new players. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to coaching these. We really don't know what some of them can do. I feel like we're going to be competitive on both genders, you know, but I really don't. There's a lot of question marks and so forth right now. I'll know more in a month or so, kind of see what they do. But I got some feedback from the fall, and I thought our fall went pretty good.
And just to talk about when you really have to have things ready and rolling here with the spring season, when's your first matches and where you head on those?
Yeah, we'll start playing indoors the first few matches into February, beginning of March, and then once we get into March, then we'll get outdoors and play our season. But we've got some really fine teams. We're going to play Southern Indiana and Lewis University, some of the teams we don't see around here, along with our conference, which is just loaded every year. You know, it's very, very good. And I've got Youssef's going to be on. You know, he had never played doubles with his partner this fall. And, you know, they got to the finals, almost won the ITA, first time he ever played with Jorge, which, you know, that's a good sign.
And when you look at your schedule, I know one thing you try to do as much as possible is schedule tough competition in the non-conference matches to get you ready for the conference season.
Yeah, our philosophy has always been, you know, we don't back off anybody. We'll play them. We used to play a lot more Division I. Now it's maybe 1 or 2 a year, but we can't get the matches with them. They don't, you know, the ones around here, they just, you know, they're not going to mess around with Division II. So, you know, we'd like to play them. We used to play them all the time.
If you quit beating them, they might want to play you a little bit more.
we don't always beat them, but we've done our fair share, that's for sure. But, you know, even the good Division II schools, you can only travel so far, and a lot of those are in Florida or, you know, Hawaii, California. We're not going to get to see them until the national tournament. But if they're somewhere in the Midwest and they're good, we're going to try to play them. And that's the way, whether we got to meet them somewhere or whatever, just to get that competition. And it's worked well for us.
Now, you talked about Youssef Sharif coming from Cairo, Egypt, just one of a number of players that come from international backgrounds. And just talk about recruiting the international student and what they bring to not only your team, but really to the campus overall with the things that they can really bring to Northwest Missouri State.
Well, you know, you start with culture and diversity and all that, which we've done for many, many years, going back to when Coach Bird was doing that. That's 40, 45 years ago. So it's nothing new in tennis. There's so many international. The whole world plays tennis, but, you know. But, yeah, Youssef came to us. Actually, he is a Division I transfer, came to us from Youngstown State, and he stepped in, and he's a senior this year. It's his second year. And then Tess Loving, who will be on the show here in a little bit, she came to us from Rockbridge High School in Columbia, where they won the state championship down there, and she was the number one player. So two excellent players.
Yeah, and when you, if you, anybody spends a lot of time around your teams, they get along so well, too. It's just amazing how you bring in these players that are, didn't know any, each other at all for, until I get here, coming from such varied backgrounds, but they all seem to mold together and become two very good teams for you.
Well, they have to. You know, they may be the only one from their country, or we try to get them in pairs, but it doesn't always work out that way. But, you know, and they're really forced to get along, and, you know, that's usually the least of our problems and as far as getting better and practicing and all that. But, and both teams are close. It's a family atmosphere, and it has been for many, many years, and that's the only way we get do it. That's, you know, we don't have time for all the other drama and this and that, so... that's the way we do it.
And really, when you go on the road, a lot of times some of these matches, the only fans that are cheering for you are, you know, are the women's or men's teams. When they're not playing, they really become very good fans of each other.
That's the first speech I tell them. You know, you go out on the road and they're not going to be cheering for Northwest Missouri unless we once in a while we'll have some alumni come out. You know, unless we're in Kansas City or something like that where we have more. But it's really important that they support each other because, you know, ain't going to be nobody else supporting them. So they get used to that in a hurry. So.
All right, Mark, it's been great to have you with us on the show tonight, and good seeing you up and around.
John, thank you. Just a little, that other interview the other night, we had to... That was a quick one, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
We made it, though. No, thank you for letting it happen.
You bet. That's the head tennis coach of Northwest Missouri State, Mark Rosewell. When we come back, we'll talk with a couple of players off of his squad, and Yusuf Sharif and Tess Lovick. That's all coming up right after this from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from Shelter agents Brad Ford of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mount City.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware and custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. With online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device, the right bank is right at your fingertips. More at nvb.com or at any of the 8 locations.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through the ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Printery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. And welcome back to the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Before we continue on, I've got a prize to hand out here, as we have some whiteout T-shirts from the student body that folks are going to be encouraged to wear during the next home game for the Bearcat basketball squads when they face Missouri Western. And Chris Rolfson is the winner of the first one that we have to hand out here this evening. So again, Chris, come over to our table to my left and pick up your prize here this evening. So we mentioned before the break, continuing to talk tennis, as we're joined by a couple players off the Bearcat tennis teams, and Yusuf Sharif and Tess Loving, and good to have both of you with us here on the show here today.
Yes.
And again, let's just first of all talk to Yusuf. You come from a little ways to play tennis here at Northwest Missouri State from Cairo, Egypt, and I guess a transfer from Youngstown State as well. But what drew you to Northwest, Maryville, and the Bearcat tennis program?
Yeah, I mean, it's been really good here. Last season for us was really good, and I'm really looking forward for this season. It's supposed to be good for us, and I mean, right now the weather, as you can see, we can't play outside. We're playing inside till the weather gets good, and hopefully it'll be good.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't seem like tennis season right now, does it?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like that at all. Egypt is much better now for this.
I bet so. Wanting to play in the United States and come to Northwest, what's the process you had to go through to end up in Maryville?
I mean, I transferred, as you know, from Youngstown State, and before I came here, I talked to the coach, and he gave me an opportunity. He told me I can come here, and I took the opportunity, and it's been great ever since. And it's a change from Egypt, of course, to come here, but it's been a really good change, and now I'm getting used to it. I'm a senior now. It's been really good.
And Tess, you don't have to come quite so far from Columbia, Missouri, and what brought you to Northwest?
Well, I knew I wanted to go to a smaller school with a, small-town feeling, and Maryville was just kind of the perfect fit, a good distance from home, not too far, but not too close, and a really good atmosphere.
And again, as we talked with Yusuf, it definitely doesn't feel like tennis season right now when it's sub-zero outside, and you have to kind of walk through the snow and the ice and things to get to Lampkin to practice. But just talk a little bit about the challenges of preseason for the spring portion of your schedule and how the team is able to get in game shape and ready to go when the season starts.
Well, we do a lot of workouts and just a lot of practice, just getting better and getting stronger before our season. And we have a few more weeks to go, and we're all going to improve ourselves a lot before season starts.
And I've had a chance to play a little bit on those courts at Lampkin. I know that's not a whole lot of fun because you end up getting a lot of bounces and different things, and it's really a little hard on your knees, it seems to me, when you play on that court. And then talk about playing on that and then making that adjustment to go outside or even on another indoor court how hard that is to make that adjustment.
Well, I mean, yeah, it for sure is an adjustment. No one really ever complains about it. We all appreciate what we have, and we all have to really focus whenever we do go onto a different surface because the ball does bounce differently. But overall, we all do pretty well with it.
And Yusuf, just talk a little bit about how you see this season coming up for you. I know Coach talked a bit earlier about he's expecting some good things out of you this year, and how do you view this upcoming season?
I mean, doubles should be really good for us this season. Me and my partner, we did a really good tournament in the regionals tournament. So doubles, I'm looking forward to it, and singles, we have a pretty strong team. We got a new guy from Argentina, looking good too. I think it should be a really good season for us, for the guys. We're pretty strong this season.
And Tess, on the women's side, what are you looking for this year?
Just a better team dynamic. I think that we all get along really well together, and it'll just be a lot of fun playing with the girls.
And again, that team dynamic, something we talked with Coach about, where you have so many players from varied backgrounds. How much fun is that to learn a little bit about other cultures as well as playing tennis together?
It's so great. I've learned so much just about, different people's lifestyles, and it's really opened my eyes just playing on a team full of so many different backgrounds.
And Yusuf, just kind of go along with that as well on your side.
Yeah, I mean, I'm used to it since I'm already not from here, but it's still nice to learn about people from all over the world, basically, and we have an American on the team as well, so it's a really good thing, different cultures.
Let's just talk about academics. What are you studying?
I'm a business management major, and I'm a senior now, but I have one more semester after this, and I'm going to finish, and then we'll see what I'm going to do. Maybe I'll do my master's, maybe go back to Egypt. I still don't know. We'll see about that.
Anything in particular from a business standpoint you'd like to do when you get out?
I mean, I would like to have my own business one day, but of course, that's what we all want, right?
Good to be your own boss, I guess.
Right, yeah.
And Tess, just talk about your academics.
Well, I am also a marketing major and a business management major, and I'd like to one day also own my own business. We'll see if that actually happens.
Or maybe the two of you can get together and come up with one there. All right, well, Tess and Yusuf, thanks a lot for being with us during the program.
Thank you.
Again, we've been talking tennis with Yusuf Sharif and Tess Loving here on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to indoor track and field. That's coming up right after this from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for Bearcat Radio Network comes from SSM Health St. Francis Hospital, offering a range of health services in the Northwest Missouri region, including 24/7 emergency services and cancer care. More at SSMHealthSt.Francis.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Northwest Foundation, providing support for Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bomley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Bomley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to the area since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at 5 Mile Corner, south of Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from your local family-owned Orsland Farm and Home, with more than 30 stores throughout the region. Orsland provides customers with the tools and materials necessary for jobs on the farm, in the garage, or at home. More information at OrsalandFarmHome.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at YoungerAuction.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Before we talk with Scott Lorick, the head coach of the Northwest Indoor Track and Field Teams, we have another whiteout t-shirt to hand out here this evening. And again, this is for use with the Missouri Western basketball games coming up when Northwest returns home from their road trip that they're on this weekend. And we have Keston Oatman, who is the winner of a t-shirt, come over and check out with everyone just to my left and pick up your t-shirt. And again, as I mentioned, joined now by Scott Lorick. And Scott, on the last break, we're kind of talking about that big structure that's coming up just to the west of the football facility. And how much are you looking forward to moving into that a year from now?
Yeah, what is that? What is it? Just going to be fantastic. And I was just telling you before that sometimes I'll go by there and I'll just stop and stare at it for a few minutes longingly. But yeah, that's going to be a great addition. Especially for us, because it's actually going to be a competition venue for us. But it's great for the whole university and all of our programs.
Yeah, let's just talk about how that will benefit indoor track and field, because as you mentioned, not only is it a facility that you guys can work out in and practice with, but it's one that you can host some events coming up.
Yeah, and looking ahead, Greg Hansen is our new coordinator of that facility, and he's been great to work with. But we had our coaches convention back in December, and Greg hasn't even started yet. And so I was on the phone with him and emailing him about, I'm at the convention, I'm trying to line up teams to come to our meets and got all this stuff going. I felt bad for him that I'm already hounding him and setting up dates, and he hasn't even started yet. But yeah, he's been great, and our other coaches have been great, and we've got, we've got things already lined up for next year already. We are actually hosting the MIAA Indoor Championships next year. So at our coaches' meetings in early December, they voted to have this next year, our first year to host it. So although that's great, it's
no pressure on anybody.
Yeah, it's stressful for coaches and for Coach Peterson and I to, kind of look forward to that. But
I imagine that's something that, even though it's not constructed, you have to plan ahead a little bit to be able to get things ready to roll for that.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why with some of our things scheduling-wise, I was down there in Phoenix, talking to coaches and at our conference meetings and region meetings and things like that, and I made information to put out. So we're putting on an invitational 10-team meet in February, and I pretty much got 10 teams from all over the whole country. Like Queens of North Carolina is going to come, and maybe there's one or two schools from California that are going to come. So it's exciting that we can have a place that, it's attractive for people to want to do that.
And I imagine it's going to be nice for everyone to have another venue that they can go to, because I know a lot of times when you look at your schedule, going after Nebraska quite a bit and taking part in some events that are there, that there's limited places in the Midwest that really have first-rate indoor facilities that you can hold meets at.
Yeah, and the reality of our sport is, as things change and develop, Division One is sometimes they turn to be just Division One kind of meets, and I've always thought if Nebraska, who's been extremely good to us, but if they ever got to the point where they decided, we just want to just be Division One meets, then we would just really be in trouble and out in the cold, you know, in both meetings, you know. And, you know, there are some other schools who have gone that direction. So, but Nebraska, thankfully, has been fantastic. But, yeah, that's something that, you know, you have to watch in the future kind of holds with the NCAA and the different divisions, what happens. So having another facility at our place, a Division II place, it just opens the door to help not only us but a lot of programs.
Well, coming off weekend, and speaking of being in Nebraska and Lincoln at the Graduate Classic, and just talk a little bit about how everything went last weekend.
You know, I told the team after our meet that this may have been the best opening meet we've probably ever had. There was not one performance of the day that I could say, like, okay, I was disappointed in over that weekend. And, you know, we're coming off break, and it was a tough break with the weather for a lot of places, and kids had to kind of struggle to get their, you know, workouts in, but they did, and they managed to do it, and we had to, you know, makeshift and change and do stuff, but they did, and I think that says a lot about the people in our program and how committed they were to getting the job done when, you know, obviously they didn't have indoor tracks. I mean, kids are running in hallways of their high school, they're running in parking lots, or they're just out in the streets somewhere. So, but they are. We got the job done, and there's nothing from that last meet that can't be improved upon just with more practice over the next few weeks. So it was a very good start for us.
And just talk a little bit about some of the individual performers that really stepped up this past weekend.
Well, I think one of our things is, I think our highlights is the two people that are here tonight. Audrey Wishman had a very good opening weekend in the high jump and you know, doing a couple other events, and she's already had a good pentathlon score from December before we even started. But the other guest we have tonight, Jordan Hammond, had, I think, a fantastic weekend. She ran the 60 hurdles and the 400, and she ran her best indoors ever in our first meet in the 400 meters. And the 60 hurdles is just a new event for her. So she has now run 4 60 hurdle races in her lifetime, and 3 of them are under 9 seconds flat, which is outstanding.
Yeah.
And she's like just a couple, you know, she's like a length of her nose away from NCAA qualifying right now. And so that's just outstanding, and this remarkable improvement. I mean, she's been a hurdler, but, you know, you can ask her about this, the transition to run this thing that's a full-out sprint with people on both sides of you and just 3 steps in between the hurdles. Even though you run the hurdles in the 400, it's a whole different animal.
All right, I think it takes a special person to run hurdles as well.
Yeah, it's like pole vaulters. I mean, they gotta be half nuts anyway to start. So, you know, but we find those people and we go with it.
All right. Well, certainly appreciate you coming by on the show, and we'll come back and talk a little more track and field with the gals you brought with us.
Great. Thank you.
Again, that is Scott Lorick, the head coach of the Northwest Track and Field Programs. We'll come back and continue to talk track and field right after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Compass Dental Group in Maryville. Doctors Bruce and Teal Twaddle and Dr. Brian Biertaler provide braces, implants, same-day crowns, and general dentistry. More at 660-582-2273 or at compassdentalgroup.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville, across from Walmart. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or 582-8800.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. With online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device, the right bank is right at your fingertips. More at nvb.com or at any of the 8 locations.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
And welcome back into the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show from Carson Sports Grill, downtown Maryville. Matt Tritton now joined by Audrey Wishman and Jordan Hammond of Northwest Missouri State Track and Field. Before we dive into the interview, though, we do have another shirt to give away. This one to Courtney Wolf, a student body wideout shirt for the next upcoming home men's and women's basketball game against Missouri Western. That one a week from Saturday. So Courtney Wolf, if you want to come up, see Ryan or Jenny, or they'll hunt you down and pass out your shirt to you there. But Northwest Missouri State Track and Field. Jordan, Audrey, appreciate you guys joining us. Diving in, have one meet out of the way since coming back from holiday break. And I imagine that one, at least for me anyway, be a tough transition after kind of filling up the family dinners, being away for a while, having to work out on your own, but getting back into things. What was it like diving back into the swing of not only practice, but actually that first meet too?
It definitely was like a meet just to get all the rust off, and you can't really have too high of expectations for yourself going into the first meet back off a break. But I think everyone did a really good job considering we had such a long break and it was so cold over break. I think the meet went well.
Audrey, what was it like for you?
I agree with Jordan. It is hard to come back from break, especially, and we have a pretty short break compared to other schools, but I mean, before break, we had one meet, and it's easy to be really excited for the rest of the season, and you get away for a while, and it's hard to stay motivated sometimes, but keep your motivation level high and excited, and I don't know, it went really well. So.
A lot of high-level Northwest Missouri State track athletes. Whenever you go to places like in the Graduate Classic, for instance, a Nebraska, and you're meeting against Division One athletes, and there's a stigma of a Division One athlete supposed to be the better athlete, but when you're running alongside them, jumping alongside them, is that a little more motivation to say, they're no better than me, or I'm actually the better athlete, and kind of put yourself a little bit more?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, just knowing that you can compete at that same level as a Division One athlete, or, you know, potentially be a Division One athlete, it's really motivating, and it just lets you know that you're not any less of an athlete just because you run at a Division II school. Yeah, it's really awesome being able to compete with the D1 athletes and at a school like Lincoln, Nebraska, and just to get that that experience with those type of athletes. And we have just as good athletes in D2, so when we get to meets that are just strictly D2, then we are, you know, super nervous, and we've kind of been in that atmosphere before, so it's really nice.
Well, Jordan, take me through the last meet for you there, finishing third in the 60-meter hurdles, 6/100ths of a second away from getting that NCAA provisional mark. Is that frustrating for you, or is it knowing there's a few more meets, you have a chance to eclipse that and keep on improving? What's that mentality like?
Yeah, it's definitely frustrating. I definitely want to hit that provisional mark soon, but considering I haven't run the 60-meter hurdles ever except for this year, like I was proud of myself for that first meet, and there's really not too much to be upset about, but I'm definitely driven to hit that provisional mark pretty soon here.
Getting into that for the first time and running the hurdles like that, how's that transition from, you know, just running the 400-meter dash where you're just all out going to kind of figuring in to making sure your steps are just right?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of technique that goes into it, a lot more than I'm used to with the 400-meter hurdles. And they're higher, which is a little scary, but I transitioned pretty well, I think. I still have a lot to work on, but it's been a good ride so far.
And is it kind of cool whenever you look back? You finished second. He was right behind you, finishing third, and having that that Northwest teammate pushing you right there. You know she's right behind you.
Oh yeah, it's definitely cool. Really motivating. It's always fun too, like being able to compete with your teammate, because it's comforting, you know, because you compete with them every day at practice. So being able to do it out there on the competitive field is even better.
Well, going back a few weeks before at UNK early on in the season, Audrey winning the pentathlon, reaching that NCAA provisional mark. And I believe that that's one of the top scores in Northwest history in the pentathlon, obviously kind of setting yourself up there for what your career could be. But reaching that NCAA provisional mark so early in the season, what's that like for you? And how does that change the focus of making yourself better, not getting complacent with already knowing that you reached that?
Yeah, it was really awesome being able to score that so early. I definitely am going into the season, you set goals for yourself, and when you're going into the first meet, you kind of, you know, maybe hold back a little bit on your goals, but I was really happy with how I did, and it really set a good, like, stepping stone for the rest of the season, and it's kind of upsetting because you don't really get to do very many pentathlons in a season. You only get to do maybe two or three, so improving each time is really important, and just being able to start at that higher level is really awesome.
You do know that the record holder at Northwest is Chloe, right?
Yeah.
Followed by Coach Peterson. So is that a little more motivation when you kind of look up and know that that they're right there?
Yeah, I mean, I never really thought about it. I just kind of try to do my best and compete with those around me. But chasing after my sister's record is something that maybe I can do, and I never really put that much thought into it. But it's cool that it's there.
Do you have those conversations about just between her and Coach Peterson, of course, but what they did to make them greater, or what they could have done to be even better, and how do you build off that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Since Chloe, the coach, is kind of coaching us too, hearing her input is really awesome, and I grew up watching her compete and learning from her mistakes, and she had, I mean, we used to have conversations all the time about what she wished she could have done, and then I kind of try to do those things so that I can be better, and it's really awesome having both of them as role models.
Whenever you're going through school and growing up in Kirksville, Jordan growing up in Kansas City, but growing up in Kirksville, Chloe makes her way over to Northwest. Did you know at that point that you were going to be a Bearcat, or did you have a few other places in mind you thought about going?
I didn't know right away whenever she came here, but whenever I started looking around, like, my senior year, it was definitely a top choice because I know she'd done so well here and really loved the coaching and the atmosphere and the school, so it was definitely always a top choice.
And Jordan going to Park Hill South and competing in athletics there, what made Northwest Missouri State the right choice going from a bit of a big city kind of to a small town now?
It's definitely a lot different, but I think I adapted to it well. I like how homey it is here, how homey it feels here, and how close all the athletes and coaches and just really everyone in Maryville are to each other.
Well, we have the Concordia Classic coming up January 26th and 27th, about 5 weeks left to go in the indoor season before we dive into the indoor championships for the MIAA in Pittsburgh. What do you guys do the next few weeks to kind of keep chipping away and making yourselves better and getting yourself ready to move on to nationals?
Well, for me, the Concordia is our next multi, the last one to a conference, so that's going to be a really big thing for me. Hopefully I can improve on my score and even just kind of get a little higher on the ranking list and see where that puts me before the season's over.
Yeah, I also just want to improve my times and stay healthy, you know, up until the championship meet, but just progress is really all I'm looking for.
Well, Jordan, Audrey, appreciate you guys' time, and good luck the rest of the way. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
That is Jordan Hammond and Audrey Wishman for Northwest Missouri State Track and Field, competing in the Concordia Classic coming up on January 26th and 27th in Nebraska. We'll take a quick break and wrap things up here from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at youngerauction.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Home by Sonia at 103 South Main in Maryville. Home by Sonia provides full-service interior styling along with custom window coverings, flooring, furniture, and more. Information is available online at homebysonia.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Delbert's Garage at 714 North Depot in Maryville. Delbert and his team handle car and truck repairs from brakes and air conditioners to replacing engines and transmissions. Learn more at 660-562-0025.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell, located at 1218 South Main in Maryville. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell carries a full line of iPhones, iPads, and Androids. More information on plans and devices is at nwmcell.com.
Support for Bearcat Radio Network comes from SSM Health St. Francis Hospital. offering a range of health services in the Northwest Missouri region, including 24/7 emergency services and cancer care. More at SSMHealthSt.Francis.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. As we're concluding our first show of 2018, Matt Trin. Got a lot coming up. Basketball tomorrow, Northwest and Nebraska Kearney, 5:30 and 7:30. We'll have the broadcast of both of those from Kearney beginning at 5:10 with their pregame. Then on Saturday, a little bit of a change in the start times. It's 2 and 4 instead of 1:30 and 3:30 there. So we'll be on there at 1:40 with our pregame on Saturday as Northwest faces Fort Hays State in Hays, Kansas. So a lot of basketball coming up this weekend.
Yeah, you're right, John. If the Bearcats going on the road, a chance to pick up a couple quality MIAA road wins for really both men's and women's basketball. Then they get a little bit of a break after that Saturday, going right into a week off before the 27th, being back home against Missouri Western. Whiteout there, so a chance to wear those whiteout shirts we've been passing out today and from the student body. And also come back out next Thursday. Keep mixing up these show dates. I can't keep up. Come back out next Thursday. We'll have more whiteout shirts from student body to get you set for that weekend game against Missouri Western. So a lot of big games coming up, and really we only have about two basketball homestands left. So have to get out there and really enjoy these while you can, and hope to see some more postseason basketball roll through too.
All right, sounds good. Again, tomorrow night, 5:10 pregame, Northwest and Nebraska Kearney from Kearney at Nebraska. And then next week, we'll have the coaches show right on a Thursday, back on our Thursday night program next Thursday, beginning at 6 o'clock from here at Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Thanks to everyone involved with the program this evening. I'm John Coffey, and so long from Carson's.